Good evening. This afternoon here, I wish to speak a short time on a subject that every child of God should know. It's something that we must be mindful, that we must do each and every day. And it involves the word overcome. We'll speak this afternoon about overcoming our temptations, knowing that what's a stumbling block for some of us is not for someone else, and vice versa. We all have our weaknesses. We are human. We were made that way. There are things that we can overcome with no problem, and there are other things that each and every one of us, in our own individual, our individuality, what's in our minds and our hearts, there are things that we have struggles with, and there are things that we have to work on a daily basis. Take a brief text from chapter 4 of Matthew, talks about Jesus in his temptation on the mount, starting in verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, As written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him up on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Here we find a great lesson speaking of the three times that Jesus was tempted. Certainly he was tempted, but he did not give in. He did not give in to Satan. He was tempted, but he did not say yes. He said no, very plain and simple, to Satan three different ways. Well, this we'll use as a basis of my lesson this afternoon. Let us understand that temptation, by its very nature, is basically deception, a lie. What is evil is deceitfully presented as good. What is deceitfully harmful is described as helpful. What is poison is presented as an antidote. What is enslaving is as liberating. What is foul is deceitfully presented as fun. Temptation is what a trap is to an animal. It offers something good, but its true intent is to trap and to kill. This is the background for Christ's statement about the devil. In John 8 and 44, Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. With this in mind, we must ask ourselves then, who according to the Scriptures does the tempting? Well, certainly we know that most often it's usually Satan in his cohorts. They're always looking to trip man up. But we also must understand and realize that we are also tempted of by our own sinful nature. In James 1 and 14, But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Other human beings tempt us. At Matthew 8 and 7, Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Certainly when we are come to judgment day, and we are judged by Jesus Christ and by the works and the things that we've done here upon this earth, certainly we don't wish to have things that are against us, and certainly we don't want any condemnation brought upon us that we tempted another individual. Certainly that is for those that are out of Christ. Certainly it shouldn't be named named among anyone that considers himself and is a Christian. Next, even well-meaning believers can tempt us. In Matthew 16, chapter verse 21 through 23, we find Peter, that he's rebuked by Jesus. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. To be tempted is one thing, but to sin is another. Jesus was tempted, but did not sin. We cannot avoid temptation. Countless attempts have been made to avoid temptation, but there is no place to go to escape from it. For the devil is always near, and our flesh, our sinful flesh, is always with us. We can't escape it, but when it comes, we are instructed by the Holy Word of God to resist it, basically to say no to it. Resist the devil and he will flee from you, James tells us in James 4 in verse 8. The goal of temptation, let us remember, is to separate people from God. That's what Satan wishes to do. He doesn't wish for God to have any children. He doesn't wish for God to have any believers. He doesn't wish for God to have any faithful people that believe in him and that would obey him and please him. He wants to separate all people away from God. For non-Christians, this means keeping them in a state of unbelief until death. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3 and 4, But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan uses many well-meaning people to blind the minds of those that wish to know the truth. It's sad to know that there are many that purposely speak half-truths to people only for the donation of monies into their large church building that they refer to as a church or a big church organization of the denominational world. Certainly there are many that feel they are doing the right thing, but they are somewhat blinded because they are not speaking the full truth. They don't wish to wear the name of Christ. They don't preach the plan of salvation that Jesus Christ preached, knowing that Jesus is doing the saving and that we wish to be saved by him. We should do the words that he has told us. They mix and match everything up, and it's no wonder there are many people lost out in the world. They don't know where to turn, who to believe, who to listen to. But let it be said that Satan wishes to keep those separate from God by allowing them to believe a religion or a religious body that doesn't speak the truth, only half-truths. So basically, if they do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, they are not in a state of belief, and they will result in a state of unbelief until death because they did not do what Jesus has commanded man to do. For Christians, this means tempting them to lose their faith. In 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5, For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. Certainly, Satan wishes to trip up every Christian. Satan wishes that every Christian would backslide and turn their back on God. Certainly, he puts things or tempts Christians with things that we would doubt God, doubt God's plan, doubt God's love for us, that we would slowly lose our faith, it would get weaker and weaker till a Christian would completely turn their back on their God, on their Creator, and on their Savior, Jesus Christ. Though eternal separation from God is the ultimate goal of Satan, it is also true that every transgression that we commit drives a wedge between God and us. There is a method to the devil's madness, and Christians should be knowledgeable about this method. Certainly in the military armies of this world that has ever been, or even to this present day, there's always goals, there's always battle plans, so to speak. that they wish to implement and to make every member of their group understand and practice, months and years of practicing certain methods. Certainly, Satan is no fool. He knows that he has a variety of devices that we know that he uses against Christians, and we should, if we're wishing to overcome these temptations that come our way, if we wish to defeat Satan, we should know a little bit more about them. In 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices, the Apostle Paul says. If we wish to be an overcomer, we can't be of Satan's devices that he's using to tempt us. We don't want the enemy to take advantage of us, because if he does, we will fail. We'll certainly get hurt, we'll get weak, and we will ultimately fail if we should allow him to get a hold or advantage of us. Satan often uses a consistent strategy in tempting. He will use one device after the other until he finds one that works, and he will consistently bombard that one Christian with that one device till that individual slips and slides and backslides and falls away. One example, Satan often attacks us when we are weakest. We find that in the text of Matthew, the fourth chapter. The devil tempted our Lord when he was very weak. It says here in the text, after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting. We are told that afterwards the devil left him until an opportune time, which probably meant until another time of physical weakness. So he often attacks when our bodies are the weakest. In 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, verse 5, defraud ye not the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourself to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your continency. Certainly he doesn't want to go after a strong Christian, even though in a way he does, but his goal is to attack every Christian, but he waits for the strong ones, the strong Christians, in their time of weakness. When they least expect it, here comes the temptation from the Father of Lies. The devil let us know that he often tempts us during times of idleness. Certainly we know that saying idleness is the devil's workshop. Certainly if we're not using our minds and our hearts and our hands and our things that we use to be productive in this life in a good, righteous way, if they're idle and we're not using them, certainly the devil will often tempt us during these times of idleness. We find an example of King David. Notice that King David was tempted to commit adultery with Bathsheba during a time of idleness. We read in 2 Samuel verse 11, then it happened in the spring at the time when kings go out to battle that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the sons of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David stayed at Jerusalem. Verse 2, now when evening came, David arose from his bed and walked around on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful in appearance. And of course we know that what he did after that, the words here picture a scenario of idleness. He was idle, he had spare time on his hands, he didn't use it wisely. In another event, he kind of went looking for trouble. He went around looking to see what he might see from the roof. The devil, let us understand, is tenacious and persistent. It is one thing to say no to one temptation, but it is quite another to continue to say no to a persistent temptation. Remember that Satan will always continue to bombard us repetitively, especially if he's found one or two areas of weakness. He will use that same temptation over and over and over again till he sees you fail and fall flat on your face. It gives him pleasure when he separates a Christian from God, and that's what he's up to. That's what his scheme of things is while here, before time he knows is running out. Let us realize that temptation is definitely a reality all of us face each and every day. James 1:15-17. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Let us realize that the devil is actively plotting to tempt each of us right now as we speak. Certainly, as we're supposed to be here on the Lord's Day, and we are to have our minds and our hearts off the things that are out beyond them doors, and we are here to please God, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Certainly, the devil wishes to sidetrack us. He doesn't want us listening to the lesson. He doesn't want us meditating on the Word as it's being spoken or taught. He doesn't want us concentrating on the cross of Christ and His the death and crucifixion of our Lord Savior on the cross. He wishes us to be thinking about other things other than that we're supposed to. If we're not paying attention, if He has tempted us here in the assembly to think about other things rather than the things that we should, we certainly are not worshiping God in the Spirit. Therefore, you're not pleasing God, and we have slipped and fallen short. From the temptation of Christ here in Matthew, the fourth chapter, we can learn of three motivations that we can use to overcome our temptations. First, we should spend our lives preparing for temptation, knowing that it is a reality. It's something that's definitely coming our way, not more than once, but it's going to consistently come our way. We should prepare for it, just like any good soldier would in the military, in the armies of the world. They know that when a battle's coming up, they prepare for it. We know that this is not a physical battle, it's a spiritual battle. The forces that we are up against are very strong, but with God's help and with the Word of God, we can prepare for those times of temptations. Matthew 4, verse 1 and 2. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward and hungered. Here in the verse, again, the first two verses of the text, we can look and ask ourselves a question here. What do you think Jesus did those 40 days and 40 nights besides not eat? Certainly, He spoke with the Father. He was in constant prayer with His Father in heaven, as we should be using the wonderful benefit of prayer to our Father when we when we go about our daily lives. We should pray to Him every day and pray for strength, especially for those times that Satan would wish to tempt us. At a very early age in Jesus' life, He said He had to be about His Father's business. Certainly, we, as Christians, we are be about our Father's business each and every day. Luke 2 and 49, and He said unto them, "How is it that ye sought Me? Wished ye not that I must be about My Father's business?" It wasn't just a casual saying. It was a deep desire for Jesus at His early age to be about His Father's business. He knew what He had to do, and He started right away, and nothing was going to keep Him from doing that, even the presence of His parents that wished to take Him away and take Him back home. We, in order to overcome temptations, we need to keep on growing in Christ. In Luke 2 and 52, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." That is something that we as Christians should do. We know how important wisdom is to obtain godly wisdom and that great knowledge that we learn from reading His Word and studying it, knowing that we should pray for the wisdom to use the knowledge that we get from God's Word. Just as Jesus increased in His wisdom and stature, we should do the same. He continually increased in favor with God and man. We know we are to live our lives peaceably here amongst one another, loving our fellow man and increase in favor with them. But most importantly, we should put at the top of our list to do everything that we can to increase our favor with God, our Father, our Creator. Certainly, He's the one who made us. He's the one that loved us. He gave us mercy, gave His Son for us, and He offers us eternal life if we're obedient to Him till death. We should seek favor with God our Father and God the Son and the Holy Spirit. We should do everything that we can to please Him. And one thing, step one, we know that we can gain favor with God the Father when we hear His Son. We should also know that God's Holy Word, we should know God's Holy Word, study it, and then, of course, use it. Jesus had no problem using the Word of God up on the mount when he was tempted. And let me read the three verses here again, verse 4, verse 7, and verse 10. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And in verse 7, Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And in verse 10, then said Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 promises us that God always gives us a way out when we are tempted. "There hath no temptation taken you, such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it." What resources has God given us that we can resist temptation? Weapons that God has given us to fight temptation, of course, is God's Word, the blessing of prayer, fleeing and avoiding, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Christian fellowship. Briefly here, we'll discuss these few as we get on the lesson here. Firstly, God's Word. When Paul describes the full armor of God over in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, we need to withstand the devil's attacks by using that armor. It's the only offensive weapon that he mentions in there is the sword of the Spirit, which the Scriptures tell us there is the Word of God, Ephesians 6 and 17. Jesus is the greatest example of using God's Word as a weapon to defeat Satan, as we see in Matthew, the 4th chapter in the text. In the Gospels, Matthew 4, as we read in the parallel Gospels, we learn that when the devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness, Jesus fought him with the Word of God. Three times he was tempted, and three times Jesus quoted Scripture to drive off the enemy. What catches my attention, and what should catch your attention, is that each passage Jesus quoted was a passage that confronted the specific temptation. In the same way, we should confront whatever is tempting us with a passage that speaks to that sin that we are being tempted to commit. For example, if we are being tempted to cheat, we should confront the devil in our sinful nature and flesh with the 7th commandment. It is written, "Thou shalt not steal." Another way to use God's Word as a weapon is to be so immersed in the Word that you know right from wrong, and therefore you know when you are being tempted. It is hard for youngsters that don't know the Word yet that well, but as they get older, they should know the Word good enough that they can tell what is right from wrong. They should be able to tell when their other classmates are doing something wrong that is against the wishes of our Almighty Father. We ought to use passages like Psalms 119:11. "Your Word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin." Certainly this is something that we can use, and many others like it. You may find some that might be better. But the whole book of the Bible is in front of you. There's many study guides to tune in to certain themes, concordances to find certain words. Certainly we ought to definitely use the Word of God and memorize different ones that will help us during those times of our weakness. If we don't have a clear understanding of and memory of what God says is right and wrong in His Word, we will not know when we are being tempted. But as mature Christians, that should not be an excuse or a reason. We should not even be there. We should know what is right and what is wrong, and to be able to be ready to teach our young children the same. Another weapon that we can use that many neglect is prayer. Prayer is another extremely important weapon that God has given us to fight off temptation. Jesus made this clear in the Lord's Prayer. The last two petitions are examples for us on how to pray against the devil in temptation. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." We also remember Jesus' words to Peter, James, and John in the Garden of Gethsemane. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Let us remember that the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. This means praying when we are being tempted that God might help us say no. And it also means praying daily that God might keep us from succumbing to temptation. Next, the gospel. Certainly the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, we should use as a weapon against temptation. It is not by coincidence that each piece of armor that Paul describes in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, is given a name that refers to the gospel, the joyous news that God has saved us by grace through faith. Look at it, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. To put on the full armor of God means confessing your faith in the gospel in the face of temptation, confessing who you are in Christ by word and by deed. And next, another weapon. A lot of people feel that they're too strong or they're strong enough and they will not succumb to temptation and they're not in any danger of sinning. We should realize our weaknesses and not be afraid to avoid it and flee it. It's a matter of common sense, but it is also found in the Scriptures. We are to fight temptation by avoiding it and fleeing from it. By avoiding it, I mean not foolishly putting ourselves in a position or place where we will be easily tempted. For example, Psalms 101 and 3 says, "I will set before my eyes no vile thing." We will be tempted far less if we avoid situations and places that would tempt us. We will be tempted far more if we willingly and actively invite things that tempt us in our lives. We are also to flee temptation. Certainly there comes a time where our resisting is not good enough. We need to remove ourselves completely from the situation. When we find ourselves in such dire straits, when we are being tempted, we should flee, run away from it, rather than foolishly think that we can stand our ground and that we're strong enough to withstand it. In this spirit, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6 and 18, "Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexual sins are against his own body." So certainly there are times and places, situations that we need to totally remove ourselves from and that we are to flee. And last, another weapon that we can use against temptation is our fellow brothers and sisters, our Christian fellowship. When it comes to resisting temptation, there's strength in numbers. There's strength in believers. We are stronger together than when we are apart. We should seek each other's help, each other's counsel, advice, meet with one another, discuss it in private, and pray about it. Next, we should realize in our scheme, in our battle plan, so to speak, to overcome our temptations, is realize how our enemy works. Realize how Satan works. He appeals to he appeals to our weakness of the lust of the flesh. Certainly, he did these three things with Jesus on the Mount in Matthew the fourth chapter. He first appealed to the lust of the flesh in Matthew 4 and 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Satan, let us realize, plays dirty. He uses our own abilities in an ungodly way. He makes us focus on the physical and never on the spiritual. He focuses on the weaknesses of our flesh, the appetites that our fleshly bodies have. He sees a weakness in many for that. He thought he saw that weakness in Jesus, especially after him fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. But we know that Jesus did not give in, and he quoted Scripture, and Satan stopped trying to tempt him with the lust of the flesh. Next, Satan appeals to our weaknesses of the pride of life. There are many that take pride in who they are, what they do, and their stature in life. Satan thought he could use this against Jesus, and it didn't work. Starting in verse 5, "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him up on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And in verse 7, Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Satan gives our pride a religious facade, so to speak. He tries to make us prove God's care and love for us. He makes us do things that are harmful to ourselves. He also appeals to our weakness of the lust of the eyes. In verse 8 through 10, from the text again, Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and said unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Satan makes us want to love the world. He makes us desire to put our grasp on worldliness. He promises us things he cannot give, and he tries to make us worship him. When we as Christians, anyone that would turn their back on God and look to put first in their life the things of this world, whether it be their job, pleasures, all the worldliness, the list goes on, and it seems the list gets longer and longer as the months go by in the world. When one turns their back on God and wishes to please the world and to be in the world, and that's all they desire, certainly they're worshiping the worldliness, and that's what Satan wishes for all men to do, especially Christians, is to worship him in the evil things that he tempts us with. In Deuteronomy 6 and 13, Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shall swear by his name. Certainly we know as Christians we should have a godly fear, wishing to please him and to serve him, and Satan should have no part in our lives. When we see him coming, we should be prepared and have a battle plan to make him flee, make him leave and not stay around and waste his time with us. And finally, we should realize the rewards of overcoming temptation. We've heard many lessons on being an overcomer. We've heard many verses that we should overcome the world. We should overcome sin. Certainly we should overcome the temptation, even though it is hard. We do overcome it when we do not do not succumb to that temptation to sin. James 1 and 2, My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Psalms 119 and 71. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. That is the account in Luke 4 and 13 when Jesus successfully said no to Satan after three attempts. The devil left him, but it says here for a season. He continued to try to tempt Jesus through other individuals and throughout his ministry till he went to the cross. But we know that Jesus was successful in all the attempts that the devil made to tempt him. Certainly it behooves us that we would wish to be successful each and every time the devil tempts us, but we need to get ourselves strong, and if we resist the devil, he will flee from us, but let us remember he'll always return, he'll always try, especially during our times of weakness. Ultimately, heaven will be our reward when we overcome temptation. When time shall be no more and the Lord calls his home, certainly that will be the end of temptation. And if we've been faithful to him, faithful to God, in the word of God, heaven will be our reward. Notice that when the devil left him in Matthew the 4th chapter and verse 11, the scriptures state that the angels came and ministered unto him. The same hope and promise is for us, is when we pass this earthly life, and we've been faithful, and we pass from this life into eternity, that we go to paradise, the angels will come for us and take us to the place called where at Abraham's bosom. 1 Peter 5 and 10, But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. We should know that even though we are tempted in this life, it is a trial. They are trials and tribulations. We are being tested to see if what we've learnt from reading the Word of God, what we know in our hearts and minds, if we are strong enough. We are human. We will fail. We just need to get back up on our feet, pray for forgiveness, repent, and continue to strive to get to heaven. The Lord knows that we will suffer along the way, but all the testings and trials will certainly make us stronger. It will establish us stronger in the faith. It will strengthen us in our hearts, in our minds, and in the Word, and it will make us perfect, because we need to be that in order to be ushered into heaven. 1 John 2 and 14, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. That's what we wish to do, is to overcome the wicked one. He's the one that's tempting us most of the time. Other times it's coming from our fleshly, weak human natures. We need to, if there's any word, any verb, active verb that we need to keep in our minds on a regular basis, is to be an overcomer, to overcome the things that would trip us up and keep us out of the kingdom of God in heaven. And finally, the last verse I'd like to read in closing is James 1 and 12. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. If we love Jesus the way we say we do, we're going to wish to desire that crown of life. We're going to desire to live with him and worship him. Certainly, if we love the Lord, we will endure the temptation, but not succumb to it. That is my lesson for this evening. Hopefully, just another lesson that helps us strengthen our means here while we live here upon this earth, to do what we can do to continue to obey Jesus Christ, and that we'd become stronger as the days go by till that eternal end. If there be one that needs the services of the church, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?